All right, we are back Monday night and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good. As always, be blessed in Jesus' mighty name. Big stuff happening, of course, on a Sunday night. Joe Biden decides to pardon his son on Sunday night after Thanksgiving. Truly unbelievable. And then flies 7,000 miles away to Angola. That's where he is with him and Karine Jean-Pierre, the two people who most would have to answer for what he just did after lying to the American public for over a year about not pardoning Hunter Biden. They fly off to Angola, and the only thing that's been available for comment for either one of them is an audio recording of Karine Jean-Pierre, which we'll play for you in just a second. Let me say it to everybody in the chat. D9597 is on. Tina Rowena is on. Alpha Acres is on. 11 Carl 11 is on. Veronica 18201 is on. No Soul Left Behind is on. Itsua 99 is on. Pitrock 68 is on. Jeannie Malfeasy is on. Dave Souders is on. Gritterdom is on. BP2 Tim 17 is on. Daniel Armstrong Rec is on. The one and only Salty Gonads is on. Tim L. T-Bird is on. Kansas Law Dog is on. Leon Fish Puppy, she is on. Chopper Supernut is on. Jules 21 Hours is on. Ab Seeks Truth is on. Sheila K is on. Neanderthal Soup is on. Sexy Pony is on. Big Jim Go Blue is on. 23 Justin Blake is on. Drummer for Jesus is on. Laura Jean Lynn is on. LA 106 Times is on. Confederate One is on. Lisa Kinzer. 11960 is on. Conservative Waffle. U.S. Abbey Girl is on. Conservative Waffle is on. Aphrodites is on. The Great 8 T1AU is on. Neanderthal Soup is on. Let me see here. Anybody I missed? Coco DeMickey is on. Jamel Hausen is on. Clean Sanchez is on. Big Scott One is on. Milwaukee James is on. Richard Perry 49 is on. SCWH Ratcliffe 1965 is on. Volvo 960 is on. Just Fact is on. Hans Lick Donovan is on. Hasselfree TV is on. S. Clark 1968 is on. Sun Gun is on. Peg Joe is on. J. Scrap 1 is on. Uncle Wally's on. Kep Guy 1 is on. Appreciate you guys. Love you. Each and every one of you. Really do. Really appreciate you being on tonight. Let's hop right to this. Let's get right to it. Let's do the pardon first. And then we'll get to Cash Patel in a couple of minutes. Juanita Broderick video, Saracen Faulkner. It's a great summation of it. Play for me, Brent.
Breaking news. Where do you go if you just pardoned your convict kid and your last name is Biden? President Biden is about to land on the African continent in Angola. Still won't be far enough away to escape from the lies he's been telling the American people. I'm Harris Faulkner. You are in the Faulkner Focus. Biden's presidential pardon not only wipes away his son Hunter's convictions on tax and gun charges, it's also an unprecedented fashion because it covers any offenses from the last decade. Wait, things that haven't even been adjudicated yet? Yeah. So is there something to hide on the heels of incoming President Trump's assembling leadership at the FBI? That's a question. And this part. Hunter Biden gets a pardon just weeks before being given potentially lengthy prison sentences for his crimes. In a statement, Biden explained, and here it is, quote, I said I would not interfere with the Justice Department's decision-making, and I kept my word, even as I have watched my son being selectively and unfairly prosecuted. No reasonable person who looks at the facts of Hunter's cases can reach any other conclusion than Hunter was singled out only because he is my son. And that is wrong, end of quote. Well, you know there's video to refute all of that lie. Here's what Biden really said.
I'm extremely proud of my son, Hunter. He has overcome an addiction. He's one of the brightest, most decent men I know. And I am satisfied that I'm not gonna do anything. I said I'd abide by the jury decision, and I will do that. And I will not pardon him.
Your son Hunter is on trial, and I know that you cannot speak about an ongoing federal prosecution. But let me ask you, will you accept the jury's outcome, their verdict, no matter what it is?
Yes.
And have you ruled out a pardon for your son?
Yes.
Clearly, that wasn't true. Either was this part. No one is above the law. His ex had. In fact, you know what? People in the White House, staff members, everybody was saying, no one is above the law, over and over.
This nation was founded on the principle there are no kings in America. Each of us is equal before the law.
No one is above the law.
Each of us is equal before the law.
The American principle that no one is above the law was reaffirmed.
In my administration, no one is above the law.
The president believes no one is above the law. And the president met the moment talking about how no one is above the law here.
Oh, he met that moment. He just didn't do it with truth. New York Post columnist Miranda Devine titled her recent column, "We Always Knew Joe Biden Would Pardon Troubled Son Hunter, Fitting the President Would Break Another Promise to the American People," and more from her.
That covers all the influence peddling that went on in Ukraine that implicates Joe Biden specifically because of the firing of that prosecutor who was investigating the Ukrainian energy company paying Hunter at that stage $1 million a year. So that really is a pardon for Joe Biden.
The New York Post cover puts it bluntly, Hunter gets away with it.
So we all know, I mean, going from Miranda Devine there at the end, that this is a blanket pardon for Joe Biden. Let's go back to front. So Joe Biden put out, no one is above the law. Now, everybody is community noted that tweet now. It's funny because it's been community noted with, it says Joe Biden, quote, his tweet, no one is above the law. And then right underneath it, it says Joe Biden. What's the date today, Aaron?
It is the second.
Yep. So Joe Biden on December 1st of 2024 pardoned his own son. That's the community note now underneath that one. If you're not on Twitter, you may not know what I'm talking about, but that's Twitter now. That's how everybody can actually do live fact checks. The community actually fact checks people's tweets now, not these fact checked organizations like PolitiFact and all the rest of the liars. But anyway, and then let's go to the second part here. What the pardon itself, it covers, this has never been done before in the history of America. The only one that's even remotely close to it is Gerald Ford's pardon of Richard Nixon. That's the only thing that's remotely close to this pardon. And that is a current president pardoning a past president, a past impeached president who resigned. This is Joe Biden with a larger pardon than that for his crackhead son. So, I mean, you can kind of get it that if you're going to protect a political entity, a political administration, and just like Richard Nixon, all the people around Richard Nixon went to prison. Everybody around Hunter Biden has either A, disappeared, B, facing criminal charges, or C, is already in prison, just like Richard Nixon. And yet Hunter Biden somehow gets a pardon. And it's such a huge pardon. It goes all the way back to 2014, which, by the way, for me, if I was a constitutional attorney like Mike Davis, people like that who are brilliant, I would be looking into the constitutionality of pardoning people, and Aaron, see if this makes sense to you, pardoning people for crimes that they haven't been charged with. Isn't a pardon for pardoning somebody's conviction? Isn't it for, if you're commuting a sentence, obviously they've already been sentenced to prison. Isn't pardoning somebody for pardoning them of a criminal conviction, not pardoning them for crimes that they've never even been investigated for?
Right.
Because that's what the pardon says. This covers any, basically, if Hunter Biden burps wrong, it covers it. Whatever it is, Hunter Biden is covered all the way back to 2014. What was happening in 2014? Some of you have heard this, and everybody focuses exclusively on Ukraine. And listen, no problem with that. But Joe and Hunter flew over to China, as Trump would say, China. Duo flew over to China together on Air Force Two in 2014 and secured $1.4 billion in consultancy fees going to places like Rosemont Seneca, which are one of the 23 Biden shell companies, of which they received themselves $23 million that's been documented. But a $1.4 billion payout to various Hunter Biden entities for Hunter Biden's expertise in consulting banks. And, you know, Hunter Biden, the convoluted, never tried a case in his life attorney, but somehow he's an expert in banking. So it goes all the way back to that. And then it covers all the Biden dealings with Privat Bank, covers all the Biden dealings in their ownership of Metabiota, which was contractually linked to the Wuhan Institute of Virology, a bioweapons lab. So it covers that, covers, of course, the $83,000 a month going to Hunter Biden from Burisma, of which, again, he was being retained on their board along with the person who ran the intel side of Mitt Romney's campaign for president. They were all together on the Burisma. And another person has absolutely no expertise in fossil fuels, but they're on the board of a fossil fuel company receiving $83,000 a month. Covers all of that. So basically, too, what it covers up is all of Hunter Biden's various schemes and plans to expose, I mean, that would expose his father, because basically what he was doing, of course, everybody knows this already, was looting all these foreign companies. Now, I heard another one today, and I would give credit, but I can't remember what it was on the five, but I can't remember who it was that was talking. If I remember it, I'll give due credit. But if Hunter, because most of these pardons, they occur on January 20th. Why? Because at noon on January 20th, you're no longer president. You don't have to answer for being president anymore. So if he is so emboldened to pardon his son on December 1st, for all intents and purposes, probably not official yet, but he's announced that he's going to do it. So for all intents and purposes, Hunter Biden is now pardoned, you know, according to the media and everybody else who will scrutinize this, not the mainstream media, but the rest of us. If he is audacious enough to pardon Hunter on December 1st, who in the heck is he going to pardon on the 20th of January? In my opinion, again, this is from that source. I can't, it's Charlie something. Can't remember his name. He's on the five. He was on the five today. But anyway, who's he going to pardon? Frank, James, and Valerie Biden, I would assume. And because all of this can be linked to Joe Biden. Remember Joe Biden's start. I'm going to go over his lies in just a minute on the pardon. It's a very clear and distinct lie. And it's a Potomac two-step that you see all the time. And it's a Potomac two-step he did when he talked about his son's business dealings. Remember what he used to say is, I have never had a single discussion with Hunter Biden, Frank or James or Valerie Biden about their business dealings. He's never talked to them about their business dealings. Now, when it was exposed that Joe Biden was meeting for dinner and was on the golf course with all of Hunter Biden's business partners, when that was exposed, then Karine Jean-Pierre, and just imagine how repulsive of a human being you have to be Karine Jean-Pierre, or to be a Democrat. You have to be a repulsive human being, because you've been swearing to the public and, you know, in the court of public opinion for years that Joe Biden never even discussed his son's business dealings with his son or James's or Frank's or Valerie's, right? That's what he swore to for years. I'm talking about for years he did that. And then when it was exposed that he absolutely did, and you had Tony Bobulinski coming out and saying, yes, the 50% for the big guy thing and all of that, that was definitely Joe Biden. Then they changed their story to, he has never been in business with his son. So they do this slight variation that anybody smart will catch on to. But of course, the mainstream media will just cover up for. And now what he's doing here, here's what he says now. This is his quote. This is Joe's post-pardon quote. Well, let's interview Joe. We can't. He's in Angola. He pardons his son, and it looked like the early morning hours today or yesterday, flies out to Africa, literally 7,000 miles from where I'm sitting. 7,000 miles away. Him and Karine Jean-Pierre, like I said earlier, who would be the two most likely to be interrogated about this by the media, they fly away 7,000 miles. And I mean, how do you as a Democrat defend that? I know there's probably not many Democrats that are watching this podcast. Please like and share. Get this to as many Democrats as you can and ask them that question. How can you defend that? I wouldn't defend it. If Trump did this, I would be saying he's running from answering questions. So yeah, again, if you go by what has been said by the Democratic Party for the last 4 years of 15 days to flatten the curve, 5 years, 15 days to flatten the curve. If you have nothing to hide, why are you concerned? If you have nothing to hide, why are you in Angola? And why is a president who is done in a month and 19 days, why are we having to drop tens of millions of dollars for him to fly to Angola? We just dropped tens of millions of dollars a week ago for him to fly down to Brazil. Why are we doing this? It actually wasn't Brazil. I can't remember the name of the country. But anyway, Peru. It was in Peru. We had to spend $10 billion for him to go hide in the jungle for a couple days. Remember, he's wandering around the jungle. And even CNN jumped on him because he was wandering out in the jungle. She's going, I don't know where he's going. So now what he's saying is, here's his quote. Well, again, let's interview him. We can't. He's 7,000 miles away. Here's his quote, though. He just wrote this for everybody to see. He put it out basically in a tweet. he says, I promised I would not interfere in the Justice Department's decision-making. Is that what he said? No. What he said was he would abide by whatever the jury decision is. And now he's changed it to, my promise was not that I would abide by the jury's decision, because I believe there's been a jury decision, right? That he would abide. The jury's decision was guilty on all charges, the gun charges and the tax charges. And just to reiterate, with David Weiss, who was appointed by, who is the United States attorney in the area, who was appointed by two Democratic Party senators, although they say he's appointed by Trump. Trump approved the appointment by the two Democratic Party senators because David Weiss is a deep state actor. Don't have time to get into that right now. But he's the one who put together the sweetheart plea deal for Hunter Biden that the judges like. And by the way, it was another, wasn't a plea deal. A plea deal is admitting guilt and then accepting the consequences of that admission. Basically saying, okay, I'm guilty of these charges, and I'm coming to a plea agreement, accepting that I'm guilty of these charges, of these specific charges. Say there was four. I'm accepting responsibility and the sentence under this plea agreement for these specific four charges. But in this plea agreement, it was another exoneration thing. It was basically another pardon. And this is what the judge caught on to. And the judge's like, I've never seen this before. It would be like me applying for a permit in the county using my own paperwork. And the county clerk goes, what on earth is this? And that's what the judge was like. I've never seen this before, because it was another pardon. It wasn't dealing with what he was charged with only. It was dealing with any past charges and any future charges. That's not what a plea agreement is. Ask any cop, ask any district attorney, ask any prosecutor or defense attorney. That's not what a plea agreement is. That's what this plea agreement was. And remember this one other thing. Remember that the IRS, in cooperation with the FBI and the DOJ, let all of Hunter Biden's serious tax charges fade away via statute of limitations. They expired via you have tax fraud and tax avoidance. Tax fraud is the major problem. Trying to avoid your taxes is criminal, but it's not nearly as criminal as tax fraud. So all the tax fraud charges were allowed to disappear via the statute of limitations, and the IRS whistleblowers say that it was on purpose. The IRS whistleblowers were saying that whenever the IRS was going to do a raid of a Hunter Biden facility, the FBI, the DOJ, would call Hunter Biden and warn them that the IRS is about to raid them. This is the actual status of the country that we live in. That where you have a United States attorney in cooperation with the DOJ and the FBI allowing the most serious charges of the political candidate or political party that they support. They allow the charges on Hunter Biden to expire via the statute of limitations. But say Joe Biden's doing a Potomac two-step here. I've said that I would not interfere in the Justice Department's decision-making. That first of all, get this nuance. The Justice Department has nothing to do with the jury decision. So remember his original statement, you're like, Tom, you're nitpicking. I'm not nitpicking. This is on purpose. Just like the business dealings Potomac two-step that he made. This is on purpose. First of all, he said, I would not interfere with the Justice Department's decision-making. What decisions does the Justice Department make? Investigate, not investigate, charge or not charge. That's it. He said, I wouldn't interfere with that. And so he can say, I never interfered with that. I never told them not to investigate, although I'm sure he did. And I never told them to prosecute or not prosecute. He could say that. But that was never what he said. That's never what he promised. He said he promised that he would abide by the jury's decision, not the DOJ's decision. Jury is a jury of your peers. It's not attorneys and cops. That's a jury of your peers. So he, once again, he's obfuscating and he's Potomac two-stepping. All right, let's go to the next one. Jack Posobiec tweet. This is what really happened. Per White House official, these people like Jack Posobiec here, these are CIA operatives, former CIA operative, okay? They have their sources and they're real. Breaking, over Thanksgiving, Hunter told his father, which by the way, we've said, and Bongino has been on, Bongino has deep sources inside the Biden campaign, inside the Biden administration, deep embedded sources that feed him information. And Bongino has been saying this now for a year, that Hunter Biden's attorney has been harassing Joe Biden and Joe Biden's attorney for a year, saying, you know what? You either give us the pardon or we're going to write a tell-all book or I'm going to do a press conference and I'm going to out dad. That's what's really been going on. Always understand, if you've pastored a church as long as I have, you've been a cop, whatever it may be, nothing is as it appears. If you think that Joe and Jill and Hunter get along, you've lost your mind. If you think they even speak to one another, you're outside of public appearances, you're probably wrong. Over Thanksgiving, Hunter told his father about a book he was writing that would go public with everything. Days later, his father signed a blanket 10-year, decades-long pardon. Weird how that worked out, isn't it? Go to the next one for him, Brent. May's video. Here's Joe Biden. Let's look at what Joe Biden said versus what he's done. Play for me.
I know how to tell the truth. I know right from wrong.
With regard to the question regarding the family, I'm extremely proud of my son, Hunter. I'm not going to do anything. I said I abide by the jury decision, and I will do that, and I will not pardon him.
One.
All right, bro. Let's hop right to this next one because let's just go ahead and link all these lies together. May's video from May's Moore. Shocking Joe Biden lied. Play for me.
Your son Hunter is on trial, and I know that you cannot speak about an ongoing federal prosecution. But let me ask you, will you accept the jury's outcome, their verdict, no matter what it is?
Yes.
And have you ruled out a pardon for your son?
Yes.
First of all, let me dispel the lie that David Muir, however you pronounce his name, just espoused, that he cannot speak about an ongoing federal prosecution. Show me that in the Constitution. I like to ask that when Christians espouse various opinions also. Show me that in the Bible. Show me that in the Bible. If you're very fervent about something, show me about it in the Bible. If that's your stand, show me where you're, what scriptures you're using. What law says that he can't speak about an ongoing criminal federal trial? Why can't he? Why can't he speak about it? Only way that he couldn't speak about it is that if he's going to influence the jury, right? Or that he's involved in it, which he wasn't. He should be, but he wasn't. So that's all just a bunch of lies. All right, so now we're chronicling everybody's lies. So there's Joe Biden on at least 2-3 occasions saying, I will never pardon my son. Never. I'm never going to do it. So, of course, that was passed on to Karine Jean-Pierre, Benny Johnson video. Here's a supercut of her lies. Play for me.
Second one, would the president pardon or commute his son if he's convicted?
So I've answered this question before. It was asked of me not too long ago, a couple of weeks ago, and I was very clear and I said no.
Okay. Let me go back to the first question of the briefing. I know you said not a lot's changed since yesterday and that it's a personal matter, but from a presidential perspective, is there any possibility that the president would end up pardoning his son?
No.
Again, you've also said several times that the president would not pardon or commute the sentences for his son, Hunter. I just want to make sure that is not going to change over the next 6 months. The president's saying he would not.
It's still a no. It's still a no.
It will always be a no.
It's still a no. It will be a no. It is a no, and I don't have anything else to add. Will he pardon his son? No.
It's a no. It's a no. It'll always be a no. It's a no. It's a no. I love this pic. Put that up there. You guys put that up side by side there. I have to show it to you because this is the pic that goes along with this next video. But I just had to show it to you. Look at Joe's face. I love it. And I love it that Aaron's relishing in this. He's in like hog heaven right now. They've been caught in all these lies. But anyway.
Love it.
Yeah, he absolutely. He just loves it. But you can actually chronicle the lies that she tells per outfit that she's wearing. She's in a pink thing. She lies. She's in a yellow thing. She lies. She's in a red thing. She lies. They're all lies. And by the way, she knew all the time that they were going to lie. And by the way, she's no longer just simply a press secretary. She's also an advisor to the president. That woman. And they want to talk about peak Hegseth's qualifications to be a defense secretary. They want to talk about Cash Patel's qualifications to be FBI director. Tell me Karine Jean-Pierre's qualification to be a national security advisor to the president of the United States or whatever. Because she advises in general areas. It could be anything. She's an advisor to the president of the United States. She would have input. He was about to push the nuclear button. That woman right there, right there. That woman whose sole qualification to be sole qualifications to be press secretary is that she's a black lesbian immigrant. That's it. That's what qualifies her to be now. And now, I guess, to be an advisor to the president, whether you should push the nuclear button or not, is that you're a black lesbian immigrant. I guess that's it. All right, so let's go to the next one. Colin Rugg video. New Karine Jean-Pierre. This is the audio only. Now, so we already heard what she was saying. What was she saying on the flight to Angola as she flees the country? Play it for me.
You have said repeatedly yourself since the election, the president has said for months, no pardon was coming. I wanted to ask you, could those statements now be seen as lies from the American people? Is there really a credibility issue here given now this announcement?
First of all, one of the things that the president always believes is to be truthful to the American people. That is something that he always truly believes. And if you see the end of his, I assume that you've read his statement, and you look at the end of that statement, and he actually says that in the first line in the last paragraph, and respects the thinking and how the American people will actually see this in his decision making. And I would encourage everyone to read in full the president's statement. I think he lays out his thought process. He lays out how he came to this decision. He came to this decision this weekend. So let's be very clear about that. He says it himself. It's in his voice. He said he came to this decision this weekend. And he said he wrestled with this. And because he believes in the justice system. But he also believes that the war politics infected the process and led to a miscarriage of justice.
So she was asked a very simple question. Is it going to now appear that your boss is a freaking liar? And what she talks about is that he believes in the justice system, although not for his son. Now, aren't we supposed to, correct me if I'm wrong, aren't we supposed to believe every election without questioning it at all? And if we do, we're an insurrectionist and a threat to democracy. And we've also been told that we are to obey all jury convictions, all jury outcomes, all jury decisions, because we can trust the justice system. Isn't that what we're supposed to do? Because we've been said that, you know, that we are undermining democracy by questioning Donald Trump's quote unquote convictions. But now, lo and behold, and by the way, when we say it's a corrupt DOJ, we're insurrectionists and a threat to democracy. And Joe Biden is saying the reason why he pardoned Hunter Biden is because it was a politically motivated DOJ investigation and prosecution. So which one is it? It's anything they want it to be that is politically beneficial to them. They'll say anything in the moment because they are devoid of all integrity and human dignity, and they're repulsive human beings. So she's asked point blank. Do you think that everybody's going to look at your boss as a liar? But then she talks about his thought process, that he wrestled with it, that he just came to this decision this weekend, and that he believes in justice. That wasn't what we asked. That's not what we asked. So I had to throw this in here, and this is a guilty pleasure. This is a Rita Panani video from Sky News. Anyone surprised that Biden would lie about pardoning his crack-addled whore enthusiast son has not been paying attention. So this is a compilation of Biden lies going back many decades. Play for me, Brent.
Democratic presidential candidate Joseph Biden today faces a controversy. 3 weeks ago at a debate at the Iowa State Fair, he used phrases identical to those delivered by British Labour Party leader Neil Kinnock.
Biden seemed to be claiming Kinnock's vision and life as his own.
Why is it that my wife is sitting out there in the audience, is the first in her family to ever go to college?
Why is Gladys the first woman in her family, in a thousand generations, to be able to get the university?
My ancestors who worked in the coal mines in northeast Pennsylvania and come up after 12 hours and play football.
8 hours underground, and then come up and play football.
It's because they didn't have a platform upon which to stand.
There was no platform upon which they could stand.
The notion that every thought or notion or idea you'd have to go back and find and attribute to someone, I think is, quite frankly, ludicrous.
The problem here is that Senator Biden told his audience he'd just been thinking about these things, and he failed to give any credit at all to his famous British speechwriter.
You know, I was thinking on the way over here. Now, that's a little too much, because as you point out, what's behind the words? What's there? And a lot of people, the rap on Biden has always been that it's just a surface.
I should have said, to paraphrase Neil Kinnock, it's the only time I didn't, in all the times I've ever used it.
But CBS News found a tape of a second instance.
It reappeared in the New York Times with a new charge, that Biden had appropriated a famous litany from the late Robert Kennedy about what the gross national product cannot measure.
It cannot measure the health of our children.
The health of our children.
The quality of our education.
The quality of their education.
The joy of their play.
Or the joy of their play.
Biden gave Kennedy no credit. He has also quoted or paraphrased John Kennedy, Hubert Humphrey, and British Labour Party leader Neil Kinnock, all without credit.
Joseph Biden admitted today that he committed plagiarism when he was in law school. He said it was a mistake, but that it was unintentional.
He quoted 5 pages of someone else's work without proper citation.
I've done some dumb things, and I'll do dumb things again.
He was given an F.
So, ladies and gentlemen, I've been dumb.
To the political community in Washington, it all seems of a piece. Plagiarism at law school, plagiarism on the stump.
The great communicator. Strike that. The great imitator.
You don't steal verbatim, or when you do, as he did 99% of the time, you give credit.
Biden's critics say he sells himself as a man whose words and visions can inspire a new generation in politics. But if the thoughts, phrases, and visions really belong to others, it's a form of false advertising.
Senator Joseph Biden may have more explaining to do.
The new questions stem from taped remarks of Biden during an April campaign appearance in New Hampshire.
I went to law school on a full academic scholarship, the only one in my class to have a full academic scholarship. Went back to law school and, in fact, ended up in the top half of my class. I was the outstanding student in the political science department at the end of my year. I graduated with 3 degrees from undergraduate school and 165 credits, only needed 123 credits.
Biden now concedes he did not graduate in the top half of his law school class, that he does not have 3 degrees from college, and that he was not named outstanding political science student in college.
Newsweek says Biden actually went to school on a half scholarship, ended up near the bottom of his class, and won only 1 degree, not 3.
Joe Biden ranked 76th in a class of 85 at the University of Syracuse Law School. I mean, this guy comes off this whole thing as a flyweight.
Now Biden says Newsweek is right. His memory had failed him.
The man has been a liar his entire life. And just to chronicle this for everybody, he lied about, he plagiarized Neil Kinnock, RFK, JFK, Hubert Humphrey. He plagiarized in law school, had to admit it, failed his paper, claimed to graduate in the top half of his class. He finished 76 out of 85. Okay, if you're not above 42, you're in the top half of your class. He said that he's the only one in his class to have a full, quote, F-U-L-L, full academic scholarship. He did not. He had a half a scholarship. He claimed that he won the Outstanding Student Award. He didn't. And he said he finished with 3 degrees, and he finished with 1. And then he said, and his explanation for basically all of this is that his memory had failed him. No, that is pathological lies. As you've heard me say many times on this podcast, your memory fails you when you say, you know what, I believe that it happened on Christmas Day, 1987, and it actually happened on Christmas Day of 1988. That's your memory failing you. It did happen on a Christmas Day, but you just messed up the date. Claiming Neil Kinnock, RFK, JFK, Hubert Humphrey, plagiarizing in your law school to the place where you were caught by a teacher and failed you, claiming that you were in the top half of your class, claiming that you went on a full ride scholarship, claiming that you were named outstanding student, saying that you had 3 degrees, and that you finished top half of your class when you finished 76 out of 85. Those are not misremembrances. Those are not a failure in memory. Those are pathological lies. They're not misstatements. They're not misremembering. They're pathological lies. And that's who this man is. That's who he's always been. And that's what he currently is. I hope he repents before he faces judgment. All right, let's go to some more liars, shall we? Simon Atiba video. Flashback, Jill Biden. Play for me.
Your husband, the president, has said he wouldn't pardon your son. He
no.
wouldn't commute his sentence.
That's correct.
As a mother, though, you must want to see this burden lifted off your son. Do you wish you could do that?
Well, Joe and I both respect the judicial system, and that's the bottom line.
So there you go. Let's go to the next liar, Mays Moore video. Let's look at Andrew Weissman. He tells us about Joe Biden's character. Play for him.
What is before us is a president who is living the rule of law. He is living it in the most personal way. He is not pardoning his son, which he could do. These are federal charges. Right. He is not doing that. He is not doing it because he is living what it means to have a rule of law in this country. Yeah. And then if you want to know if he believes it, you could actually see what is happening with his own son. I'm not saying that he should get credit for it because it is the right
thing
to do.
That's the norm, but Trump is beneath it. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. It's that you the idea that you can't see it, or is that really what's going on? Right. Or when you can see the what he is actually living by is his own son is being prosecuted, and he is allowing the norms that are required to limit a democracy to go forward.
Aren't we all, just on a side note here, of course, that's Andrew Weissman. That is Mueller's pit bull during the collusion hoax investigation. Remember the $42 million, 40 FBI agents used to investigate Donald Trump's supposed collusion with Russia for the 2016 election that never occurred? They never produced 1 ounce of evidence that it ever happened. But Mueller was actually running that because obviously Robert Mueller himself had some sort of major mental decline because he didn't even know who Fusion GPS was when he was testifying before Congress. And this was for the collusion. This was for the collusion hoax investigation. But anyway, so that was who was running it. Andrew Weissman, just on a side note, aren't we all tired of these tyrannical, effeminate men? Seriously, you listen to that guy talk and it's like, this is one of the most devastating, this is just a great testimony to Joe Biden's character. I'm so tired of listening. What these guys are, these are the effeminate men. If they start off, of course, effeminate boys on the school bus, and it's all vengeance for the rest of their life. They're going to get alpha male types. You're going to get actual male-ish males, non-effeminate males. I'm sick and tired of these guys. So here you have Weissman. I'm wondering where, now if I came out and I said something definitively wrong, like I'll use Derek Chauvin as an example. The guy who did not kill George Floyd, but is rotting in prison for 22 years for not killing George Floyd under the conviction that he did. But anyway, if it turns out that he did kill George Floyd, somebody comes out with this definitive proof, a confession where he like, I purposely did it somehow. Okay. Even though we know it's not physically possible. George Floyd, of course, died of a fentanyl overdose with 3 times the lethal amount of fentanyl in his body. But anyway, but if it did, I would come out. Aaron will testify to this. I would come out on this podcast and say I was wrong. Where's Weissman today? Where's his retraction saying that Joe Biden would never pardon Hunter? And this is a person, and I hate to say it because, again, he's an elitist Washington effeminate establishment Democrat. This is a man who's, I hate to even put it this way, but he has had people's lives in their hands, both their financial lives and their freedom in his hands. And he's a bold-faced, perjurous liar. And over again, these alleged experts, you have Andrew McCabe going on MSNBC. This is a man who's fired by the FBI for lying under oath and leaking information. And that's your source? And Weissman has never been a successful prosecutor, never really been a successful attorney. He's very much in the Jack Smith line of prosecutors. The Mark Elias, these criminal little perjurous liars that go around filing all these lawsuits. A lot of the times they lose. If it's in the right jurisdiction, they win. That's all that these people are. They're not men of character. They're political opportunists for the Democratic Party. But anyway, so let's go to the next liar. Here's Representative Congressman out of New York, Dan Goldman, Charlie Kirk video. Play for me.
In July of 2023, just after that plea deal fell through, this is what you said. I want to watch.
Do you think a pardon for his son would be a mistake?
Yes, and I don't think there's any chance that President Biden is going to do that, unlike his predecessor, who pardoned all of his friends and anyone who had any access to him. And I think you see that in this case, where he kept on, and Merrick Garland kept on, a Trump-appointed U.S. attorney to investigate the president's son. If there is not an indication of the independence of the Department of Justice beyond that, I don't know what we could look for.
What does that feel like, watching yourself back then, reassuring people that Biden was not going to issue a pardon for his son?
Yeah, and I think that if that plea agreement and that plea deal had gone through, there would be no pardon. That was a satisfactory outcome.
It had already fallen
that
through.
Only was... Sorry?
When you reacted, this was when the deal had fallen through. And I hear what you're saying.
So he at Dan Goldman, who is a devout liar. I mean, a devout, compulsive, pathological liar. You could spend an hour on Dan Goldman alone. He is one of the most disgusting, repulsive people on Capitol Hill. But he does like to change his hair color to some version of orange. Probably at taxpayer expense. But anyway, he actually finally, there's a moment of journalistic integrity at CNN where the host actually calls him out on his lies. And notice, they are so unprepared for the media to actually confront them with the truth, to actually hold them accountable to the truth. He didn't expect CNN to do it. He was on Fox News, he'd been on guard, but he never would appear on Fox News. But he wasn't on guard with CNN. And what she was talking about was, he was saying, if this plea deal had worked out, I would have not said that. And she said, you made the comments that Joe Biden, let me just frame this so the timeline is correct. This is the plea deal that got rejected by the judge that David Weiss set up. It turned out to be a blanket pardon plea deal, which is not what a plea deal is. And what Dan Goldman is saying is that what he meant was Joe Biden would never have pardoned his son if that plea deal had been met. But no, Goldman's comments were made after the plea deal had already been rejected. So Goldman's saying, well, of course, what I meant was if the plea deal went through, that Joe Biden would never pardon his son. But he made the comments after he already knew the plea deal had not gone through, had been rejected. See, he's a liar. Notice how it caused him to stymie his speech. He was stuck. These people are such demonic, repulsive liars. And compulsive liars and pathological liars, that the truth actually stymies their speech. It hits them like a ton of lead. It hits them like a sledgehammer to the forehead. The man's like, what? That's who these people are. Now, let me show you a man of integrity, Bannon's War Room video. It's a stunning pardon that goes back over a decade. Here's Mike Davis's summation of the pardon. Last slide on the pardon. Play for me.
Mike Davis. A blanket pardon, I think the only blanket pardon that we've seen we've been able to recover is the Gerry Ford's pardon of Richard Nixon, and it was actually tighter than this. This goes back 10 years to a month or like a month before he was officially signed up, or he got his first check from Burisma. This goes back to the color revolution in Ukraine. It goes back to everything that happened in Ukraine and everything else. Talk to me about the scale and scope of this pardon, sir.
It's a stunning pardon because, as you said, it goes back more than a decade and it covers any potential federal crime that Hunter Biden may have committed, including foreign bribery and corruption. Hell, if he raped a child, which, there's evidence that could have happened from these tapes, he'd be pardoned, taking foreign bribes. Pardons, foreign corruption, pardons, selling out our national security to China, pardon. This is a breathtaking pardon in scope. And the reason that Joe Biden did it, obviously, was to protect Joe Biden and the rest of the family. And I would say this is the first pardon for Hunter Biden. Just wait until Joe Biden pardons the rest of the Biden family and himself, because guess what? As House Oversight Chairman James Comer has clearly documented with bank statements, these scumbag Bidens. It seems like every scumbag Biden, except for the granddaughter, who they wouldn't claim, has taken over $23 million from these corrupt foreign entities. It's gone into their bank accounts. What the hell were the Bidens selling for $23 million? Yeah. It's very clear.
Well, and now we don't have to look. Now we don't have to worry. Now we have to wait for Badib Comer. God bless him. Now we're going to have the Justice Department. We can actually do real investigations because they sold the country out. To go back 11 years is outrageous. Hang on for a second, Mike. Boyle. This is, and the media will not talk all morning. They will not discuss what is important here. Because I said he's gonna last 48 hours in a prison. He's not a man. He's a boy. He's a reflection of they're like the family, and take this media and quote it, because they're like a pack of feral dogs. Okay? They're a pack of feral dogs. You look at the emails, you look at the text messages, you look at the videos and the pictures on this guy that he kept of himself and he took of himself. They're a pack of feral dogs.
Just real quick, back to front, you have Steve Bannon talking there and saying that Hunter Biden's not a man, he's a boy, and he'll never survive in federal prison. How does Steve Bannon know that? Because he just got out of federal prison and was put there under false pretenses and false charges that don't even exist except in the D.C. Circuit. And he was at Danbury Federal Prison for 4 months, so he obviously knows. And just remember this, and this will be the last thing on the pardon, is this is for any and all federal crimes or potential crimes that Hunter Biden has committed that have already been investigated or has committed that have not been investigated, and anything, I guess, that he could still be committing if it started back in the last 10 years. That's what this pardon is. Now, the interesting thing with this, though, is this only covers federal crimes. When they say that Donald Trump is a 34-time convicted felon, this is all bullcrap because it's all the same thing as I illustrated just a second ago. You know, in a D.C. court, they found Steve Bannon guilty, put him in a federal prison. The only misdemeanor conviction in federal prison was Steve Bannon. The only misdemeanor conviction in a federal prison before him was Peter Navarro. And these are from the people that are claiming that Trump is going to weaponize the DOJ. So the people who have weaponized the DOJ are claiming that Trump's going to do what they've already done. But again, you know, I digress. But I just want to say this. Trump's 34 felony convictions out of NYC under Alvin Bragg and Matthew Colangelo, those are local charges. We could do the same. And do the exact same thing with Hunter and Joe. Hunter and Joe. We can go to local jurisdictions and still prosecute. This just covers federal crime. All right, let me get off this. Spent until 9:54 on it. Way too long. I was supposed to stop 24 minutes ago. All right, so let me do some random stuff, and then we'll get to Cash Patel. All right, Smith & Wesson tweet. This is interesting. Despite our extensive efforts and resources spent on trying to adhere to Facebook's ever-changing community guidelines, talking to a guy right now who's giving up on Facebook. We don't broadcast on Facebook anymore. We're always being banned. I haven't been able to friend anybody on Facebook for over 4 years. Our second, third podcast we ever had, we had 900 people watching live. Took us 4 years to build that back up again. But our third one, because Facebook banned us, YouTube banned us, YouTube has banned the church for life. You're like, Tom, how are you on YouTube? We get on there and we do our broadcast. If you're wondering why you can't find it afterwards, it's because we erase it. We delete it right when we're done. So YouTube doesn't find another strike. So they strike us out. You know that's what they do. And that's how they banned the church, by the way. They went back 2-3 months and found a time where I mentioned that ivermectin was effective and then banned the church for life. That's who these people are. And Zuckerberg can say whatever he wants. Okay, but he's out there, he's licking Trump's boots right now, he's kissing Trump's butt. But Zuckerberg has not changed, because if you even mention my name, I'm not even a big time podcaster, you mention my name or Foundation Church on Facebook, they're going to shadow ban you or even completely ban you. So here's Smith & Wesson. Anybody ever heard of Smith & Wesson? Yeah, they've been around for like 150 years. Facebook's ever-changing community guidelines on firearms. It's not just firearms, Smith & Wesson. It's anything that Facebook wants to be critical about, because getting their orders from the globalist, leftist, bourgeois, elitist Democratic Party. Our account was suspended indefinitely on Friday. For what? What could Smith & Wesson ever have done? What could they have done? They're not putting out photos. They're not putting out videos or photos of violence. They're doing nothing. But they've been banned. Why did I get banned? Why? You're like, Tom, you're not really banned on Facebook. I'm banned, folks. I mean, I get regular notifications from them that if I do one more thing, I'm going to be banned for life. I never ever actually end up crossing that line, I guess, although I've never changed. 15 years after our original creation, 15 years on Facebook, and now they're done. In an era where free speech and the right to bear arms are under constant attack, First and Second Amendment, we want to thank Elon Musk and X for supporting free speech and our constitutional rights guaranteed by the First and Second Amendment. So they're done. Zuckerberg isn't changing. Listen, I'll know it's changed when, listen, I've had 10,000 personal followers on Facebook for 4 years. I can't add one person. And when we were still doing this podcast and doing our church broadcast on Facebook live, we were doing the podcast live on the channels. We have 30,000 people between me and the church that follow us. And we'd have 27 people watching. Everybody's sick and tired of it. And they're talking about Zuckerberg and he's becoming a Trump bro. Bull freaking crap. Until like right now, things have totally changed on Twitter. I used to be banned on Twitter all the time. That's gone now. Elon's proved it. It's gone. He's proved it because you know what? He doesn't ban you anymore. Zuckerberg, all of us are still banned. Don't buy into it. Everybody, Bannon is banned. Bongino, banned. You're like, they're on there. They're on there, but you can never increase your audience. And in the audience that you do get, they have to actually find your page and find out what your schedule is to ever watch you. Because they don't get any of your advertisements. You're not allowed to boost post. Nothing. I haven't been able to boost a post since I was doing Facebook Lives in my truck 5 years ago with 17 people watching. I haven't been able to buy a Facebook boost since then. Until Zuckerberg removes our chains, everybody needs to be dropping off of Facebook, going to X, going to Rumble. And listen, a lot of people, they're technologically challenged. I guarantee you, you are no more technically challenged than I am. If I didn't have Aaron, I wouldn't be doing this. I don't even know how to work the iPad I'm looking at. I'm telling you, though, I can download a Rumble app. I can do it. If I can do it, you need to switch to Rumble. If you're watching on YouTube, switch to Rumble. Now, if YouTube decides to make a Maricopa with all of us, and listen, we used to do our stuff before YouTube became totalitarian during the COVID era. Well, actually, they started being totalitarian before that, several years before that with Alex Jones. Before they started doing it, we did all of our stuff on YouTube. We did our church stuff on YouTube. And that we've lost our first, I don't know, Aaron, what do you think, 10 years of our history is gone now because they banned us off of YouTube. So we have no access to our own content.
Yep.
If I get rich enough, I'm going to sue them for that content. But anyway, so I wanted to show you this, and I might need Aaron's help with this because to explain exactly what we're seeing here. But go to the next one for me, Brent. Chris Pavlovsky, that's the CEO of Rumble. And Dr. Disrespect, you're like, who is that guy? Well, he's a big video game guy. I have no idea. I mean, I know who he is, but I've never been a streaming video game guy. I play plenty of video games, but I've never been online playing video games. But he's huge. That's him. That's Dr. Disrespect. He's now on Rumble. That's like all the other, it's like Steven Crowder going over to Rumble. And other big names that are now not necessarily only on Rumble, but now have shifted a major portion of their broadcast / podcast onto Rumble. Like you have Steven Crowder does his sanitized version on YouTube and then does his real show on Rumble. So Dr. Disrespect has now signed some sort of agreement with Rumble. And this is a guy with, I don't know how many subscribers. Aaron, see if you can find out on YouTube how many subscribers this guy's got just while we're watching this. So a guy with millions of subscribers is now on Rumble. So they did a technology contest between Rumble and YouTube. And you're like, Tom, you're just a big defender of Rumble. Yeah, I'm a big defender of free speech. I make money in the Rumble rant. I don't know what we make. None of it goes to me. It all goes to Foundation Church. Anything that I make off of Rumble goes to Foundation. Okay, it's 4.5 million subscribers on YouTube. This guy right there. I don't know he's got on Rumble. But now he's on Rumble. So they did this test to see how the chats would work and how they compete with each other. Rumble versus YouTube. Chris Pavlovsky video. Play for me, Brent.
7 seconds. Like, let's do another test. I don't know if you guys are just believing me. Right? Okay. Okay, here we go. And it's going to take your guys' very critical eye to see this in real time.
Close your eyes.
Start spamming Rumble. Look at that! No. You guys are slow. You guys are a little too slow over here. Look at this. Again, it's not, we're not, hey guys, champs over here. We're not trying to degrade you or devalue you. Okay.
One.
All right, so Rumble just whooped in a car, and this is how Aaron explained it to me. That's a latency test, so it's how quick your response registers on the screen. And you saw how fast Rumble could generate all the responses. That's like all of us in the chat. You saying, hey, Tom, in the chat right now. If I said, hey, everybody, got 1,020 people that I can see that are watching right now. If I said, everybody, say hi, Tom, right now, latency would be how fast that response would appear in the chat. And that in Rumble, for the first time, and this, Aaron, you correct me if I'm wrong,
yeah,
it's the first time I've ever seen a conservative media outlet outperform a liberal one.
True.
We're whooping them, and that is great that Pavlovsky's got his own server farm, can never be taken down. You can't, the App Store can't affect him, nothing. He's actually doing it. So congratulations to Rumble on that. And Aaron, what was this? He said 800,000+ on his first Rumble stream. So
yeah, Dr. Disrespect,
almost 800,000 on his first ever Rumble broadcast or podcast or whatever you want to call it, streaming, whatever it is. But anyway, just I wanted to show you that because it's really interesting. All right, let's go to the next one. Just some stuff on trans, and then we're going to get to Cash Patel. Icons tweet, unprecedented Boise State. Most of you have seen this already, but I want to make sure you didn't see it because this is what has to happen. This is what happened. No, you're not giving up when your women, your daughters, refuse to compete against a man. It's like saying, Tommy, you gave up on Facebook. I'm not allowed to compete on Facebook. I'm not allowed to be in the game, so there's nothing for me to give up on. See what I'm saying? So these women have decided, these college women, 18 to 24, have decided we can't compete with this man from San Jose State University. By the way, if you see this fully penis man, I wouldn't allow my daughter on the court with him. And it's not that men are better than women, but men are better than women in athletics. Sorry. Women, you're never going to hold the bench press record. It's not going to happen. But men can't squeeze babies out of orifices either. We will never squeeze a baby out of an orifice. You can. We can't. We'll have the bench press record. You won't. It's very simple. God is no respecter of persons, Romans 2:11. But if you cannot compete fairly, then why play the game? This is what I'm telling you about Republican versus Democrat. Republicans, we're just not going to play the games of the Democrats and haul them before red judges and red jurisdictions. Okay, you're going to lose then because that's the game. That's the game. You either play it or you don't play it, but that's the game. Here, there is no game. There is no competition. So the right move is if you play, you go, well, you know, if we play, we win the day. But you destroy women's athletics. You get to play that day, but you destroy women's athletics. Because if you continue to play against men, every one of these college basketball, college volleyball, college women's, quote unquote, women's athletic coaches are now going to be recruiting men to play. If you have a multi-million dollar coaching job in the Big Ten and you're losing constantly to a team that's half man, half woman, then are you telling me that it's basically a co-ed league, that you're not going to recruit men to keep your job? Especially because all these coaches are leftards anyway, for the most part. So this is the move that has to be made because you're not going to beat them on the court. We've already had the story where a woman volleyball player in high school had her face fractured by a male spiking the ball in her face. Let me just figure out all the times that women fracture other women's faces using a volleyball. Never. But put a man out there, one time, boom, facial fracture. Boise State forfeits their conference tournament semifinal match against San Jose State, refusing to face male athlete Blair Fleming. Yeah, I wonder what his real name is. His name, fully penis. And cornered, the man is cornered the market, right? I guarantee he's dating women, showers with women, and competes against women. Just like Leah Thomas. That's not his real name either. A truly heroic stand for women's sports led by sisters Caitlin Van Kirk and Kirsten Van Kirk, who are currently suing the Mountain West Division, Mountain West Conference, for discrimination against female athletes. That's the game you have to play.
That's the guy.
There's the guy. That's a guy. That's a dude. That is a fully penis man. And the idiots next to him cheering him on because they're so compassionate and they're so tolerant and they're so understanding are destroying their own future. They win the day. They get to be, you are full of virtue. You win the day, but you lose the years. It's just like national debt. You can get your Social Security check today and keep demanding that there's never a flat line on it, that it never flat lines at all. It always increases. Well, you'll get your check today. Or you can get a check today and maybe for a week, a month, a day, or a year, but you won't get and say maybe you get offered. Well, you know what? We need to lower that down to where you never get an increase or you get a 10% decrease so that the country doesn't go bankrupt. No, I want my money today. I want my money today. Well, you may get it today. And you may get it for 3 more years, but you won't be getting it 15 years from now. You'll go from 70% of what you should have to nothing. And that's what these women are doing in this picture right here. They're going, oh, look, I get to win the day. Everybody thinks I'm full of compassion and I'm understanding and I'm liberal. Yeah, everybody thinks that today until the only people playing women's sports are men dressed as women. Because what coach would decide to lose to men over and over again over simply recruiting men? Well, why would you lose to men when you could recruit men yourself? Oh, look at us, though. We're accepting. We're accepting him. Okay, have you noticed? I mean, all the women that are cheering and laughing right next to him right now know that he is physically dominant to every person on that team. And yet live and espouse the delusion that he's the same. I mean, imagine being so devoid of character and human dignity and integrity to be somebody who sits there. You know it's a man. You know he's physically superior to you and everybody that you play against, but you're going to pretend he's not. It's so disgusting. Here's Donald Trump, speaking of transgenderism, libs of TikTok videos. Here's where transgenderism will be standing in the military. Here's where this will be where the, you have the current stance of the military, which is the Army General Orr's Manual, which instructs women how to think and how to feel and how to react when you're showering next to a fully penis female. That's a fact. You can check that out. Well, here's where the military will be starting January 20th when it comes to transgenderism. Play it for me, Brent.
If you want to have a sex change or a social justice seminar, then you can do it somewhere else, but you're not going to do it in the Army, Navy, Coast Guard, Air Force, Space Force, or the United States Marines. Sorry. You're not going to do it there. The military brass that led these absurd and insulting initiatives will likewise be removed, and they will no longer be in command. They're going to be gone so fast.
And that's exactly what needs to happen. Let me show you these. Here's the new White House Christmas decor. Is that Christmas or is that Halloween? That's the Christmas decor from Jill Biden, her final Christmas decoration. What is this thing? What is it? Go to the next one. Look at what is going on. What is this? That is the most disgusting. You know, I should have done side by sides. I actually should have done side by sides. Then when Melania was actually decorating the White House, look at how disgusting that is. What is that hanging from the windows? That's not even Christmas colors. What is it? It's like some sort of weird amalgam between Christmas and a low-budget circus.
Yeah, that's what I was
going
to say.
I mean, it's like, what is going on here? It just shows you these people. What is going on here? It makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. I mean, why show you that? Because it just shows you how weird these people are. And it just how devoid they are with any sort of connection with normal America that you put up this garbage. All right, let's go to the next one. New York Post tweet. Let's go to the border real quick. Oh, there you go. Thank you, Aaron. Here's what it used to be. Aaron, can you flip it back and forth? Can you do a flip back and forth?
Put that back up for me. There you go.
There we go. I mean, come on. It's just, I mean, it's so, I don't care. You can keep flipping, guys. They're just better. I'm sorry. Conservatism is just better. The Trumps are simply better. I mean, watch Home Alone. I mean, you got Trump Tower. I mean, the Trump Plaza, whatever it was. I mean, they're just better. I'm sorry if you're a Democrat. I mean, it's fairly easy. You can live in delusion and say, oh, no, you know, it's basically the same. Is that real? Go to another Biden pick. Yeah, that, really? It's the same? I mean, you have disgusting and then you have beautiful. I mean, come on, look at that. Give me one more of the Melania one. There you go. Come on. There's really nothing to talk about. Yeah, I mean, look at that. Come on.
There you go.
There's we could play the video of the trans Christmas from 2023.
Ugh.
The Biden trans Christmas from 2023 with men dressed up as leotards prancing around the White House. All right, let's go to the next one. Let's go to the border real quick. New York Post tweet. I will get to Cash Patel here. It's coming up. Two slides and then we're at Cash Patel. I just want to show you this stuff. This is from a couple days ago. But New York Post tweet, New York City is now home to 58,000 criminal migrants, including over 1,000 gang members, source ICE. And this member now, in The View, if you Joy Behar and Sonny Hostin and Whoopi Goldberg say that migrants don't commit nearly the amount of crimes as Americans. That's all lie. 75% of crime in Brooklyn is committed by illegals. All right, let's go to the next one. Colin Rugg video. Just had to show you how sad this is. 10-year-old boy found alone by Texas state troopers on Thanksgiving Day at the U.S. border after the human smugglers abandoned him. Play for me.
¿Cómo estás? ¿Ah? ¿Qué pasó, mijo? ¿Qué traes? ¿Te dejaron solo? ¿Qué?
No me
quieren guiar. ¿Veniste solo? ¿Qué tantos años tienes, mijo?
10.
10 años. ¿Y vienes solo? ¿Sí? ¿Y tu papá y tu mamá?
No, mi mamá no va a estar en Estados Unidos.
¿Estás en los Estados Unidos? ¿Qué parte de México vienes?
No, de El Salvador.
¿El Salvador?
De San Zacate.
¿Qué tantos años tienes, mijo? ¿Ah? ¿Qué tantos años tienes?
10.
¿10 años? ¿Sí? ¿Y te dejaron la guía? ¿Te dejaron solo?
Sí.
¿Y andas perdido?
¿Sí?
Ok, pues ya llegaste a los Estados Unidos, ok, ahorita le hablo a la migración para que te levanten, ¿entendido?
Sí.
Ok.
Even if you have kids or even if you don't have kids, that just breaks your heart. This kid's just left there to wander around in the desert alone. That's the Biden administration. I mean, that is the Biden administration. They sleep. Where's Kamala? She's in Hawaii. Where's Joe Biden? He's in Angola. They don't give a crap about people. And by the way, that kid's probably destined or was destined to be sex trafficked for the rest of his life. We are now the number one producer of sex trafficked kids and sex trafficked materials on the planet. Congratulations, Biden administration, because we weren't before you. But now we are the number one producers of child sex trafficking. And I mean actual sex, kids forced to have sex, and child pornography. We are the number one producers of child sexual traffic items, sexual traffic kids, whatever it may be. We're number one producers of child sex trafficking materials on the planet and people on the planet. That is now we just surpassed guns. We were the worst when it comes to illegal gun trafficking. Now we're number one in gun trafficking. We just surpassed guns. And the only thing that we traffic more in the United States than children are drugs. So it's now drugs we traffic. And then number two we traffic is children. That's the United States of freaking America. 325,000 kids that they're willing to admit are missing. And I've heard a number that's way higher than that. They tell you 600,000 Ukrainians have died. Most reports say it's over 1 million. Well, that have been either killed. Casualties, I'm talking about 1 million casualties. that's either severely injured or killed. It's all, you know, so 325,000 is the light number. Remember they initially put out 85,000? We're like, oh my gosh, how horrible. They were doing that to grease the skids because a couple months later they came out with the 325. There's little kids just like that, putting actually a face to a statistic. All right, let's go to Cash Patel. Now, why do we need Cash Patel? Put up that first slide for me, Brent. This is why right here. Upward News post. Since 2015, the FBI has propagated the Russia collusion hoax to hurt the Trump administration. Remember now, I don't have time to get into too much of this because it's already 10:16, but just remember that when at the White House, when you had Biden, Obama, John Brennan, and James Comey in the room talking about the collusion hoax, they already knew. The reason why they were meeting about it was because they knew that it was fabricated by the Hillary for President campaign, Hillary Clinton campaign. They knew that because Hillary Clinton had hired Perkins Coie, Mark Elias, who hired Fusion GPS, who hired Christopher Steele, who hired Igor Danchenko and created the collusion hoax. They were discussing it by name and they acknowledged in the conversation, according to written notes, they knew it was a hoax. And even though they knew it was a hoax, they commissioned an investigation. Why would you not to investigate the hoax, but to investigate what the hoax alleged? That makes sense, Aaron?
Yeah.
That's what they did. They knew what they were investigating was a hoax, but they investigated it anyway. Manufacturers in 2015, the FBI manufactured the Whitmer kidnapping case and blamed it on Trump before the election. Absolutely true. Steve D'Antuono helped Biden's presidential campaign by burying Hunter Biden's illegal activities. Totally true, Hunter Biden laptop. Misclassified domestic extremism cases to support the Biden narrative. By the way, just to clarify some of this, that's why we have to have Cash Patel. Is what they did was they went around via Christopher Wray's order, because Christopher Wray and Joe Biden both say the number one threat to America is domestic terrorism, white supremacist terrorists, even though there isn't any that anybody can document at all. I haven't seen any case of it over the course of this podcast, which has lasted for 4 years. There's like no white supremacist terrorist case anywhere. But what he did was he actually went around and pulled cases off of FBI agents' desks and gave them fabricated cases to look into of white supremacist terrorist cases that don't exist. That's what he did. Misclassified domestic extremism cases to support the Biden narrative. Targeted conservative parents who protested pandemic policies at school boards and transgender policies at school boards. Placed at least two informants at the Capitol on January 6th. We know it's way more than that, but that's what's been confirmed. Who participated in the riot. Raided Trump's home to find anything but could prevent him from running in 2024. This is why we need Cash Patel, and for many other reasons also. Wall Street Apes video. Here is Matt Gaetz, reading Hunter Biden's text messages to FBI Director Christopher Wray. This is why we have to have Cash Patel. Play for me.
The American people need to understand what just happened. My Democrat colleague just asked the director of the FBI whether or not they are buying information about our fellow Americans. And the answer is, well, we'll just have to get back to you on that. It sounds really complicated. But I have other questions. I'm sitting here with my father. I will make certain that between the man sitting next to me and every person he knows and my ability to forever hold a grudge, that you will regret not following my direction. I am sitting here waiting for the call with my father. Sounds like a shakedown, doesn't it, Director?
I'm not going to get into commenting on that.
You seem deeply uncurious about it, don't you? Almost suspiciously uncurious. Are you protecting the Bidens?
Absolutely not. The FBI
You won't answer the question about whether or not that's a shakedown, and everybody knows why you won't answer it. Because to the millions of people who will see this, they know it is. And your inability to acknowledge that is deeply revealing about you. But let's go from the uncurious to the downright nosy. How many illegal FISA queries have occurred under your leadership of the FBI?
Well, there are reports that have come out with different numbers about compliance incidents.
More than a million illegal ones? Because that's what the Inspector General said. The Inspector General said that in the 3.4 million of these queries, more than a million were in error. Do you have any basis to disagree with that assessment by the Inspector General?
I'm not sure, actually, that's a correct characterization of the Inspector General's findings on that.
Well, the internet will remind you of that in moments. But let's now go to what the court said. The court said it was over 200,000 that have occurred on your watch. Do you have any basis to disagree with that assessment?
Again, I don't have the number as I sit here right now. What I can
seems like
you,
a number you should know. How many times the FBI's breaking the law under your watch, especially if it's like over a million, to not know that number? And I'm worried about your veracity on the subject as well. Play the video.
Letters for investigation of the Capitol. I don't believe FISA is remotely implicated in our investigation.
So there, Senator Lee's asking you whether or not FISA was in any way involved in your January 6th investigation, and you say no. Was that truthful?
I said that I did not believe it was.
Okay, so now let's pull up what the court said, which was something a little different than what you said. So here, nope, that's not the right one. Yeah, here we go, right there. It says, the government has reported additional significant violations of the querying standard, including several relating to the January 6, 2021 breach of the Capitol. So I guess the question, Director Ray, is, did you not know when you were answering these questions that the FBI was engaging in these illegal searches, or did you perjure yourself to Senator Lee?
I certainly didn't perjure myself. At the time that I testified in front of the Senate Judiciary Committee, I didn't have that piece of information. I will add.
Well, that was a court order. You didn't have that piece of information because the court hadn't yet rendered a judgment. Did you not know when you gave the untruthful answer before Senator Lee that this was going on?
It was a truthful answer. I did not believe FISA had been involved in the January 6th.
But it was. So you didn't. The answer is the FBI has broken so bad that people can go and engage in queries that when you come before the Congress to answer questions, you're like blissfully ignorant. You're blissfully ignorant as to the unlawful queries. You're blissfully ignorant as to the Biden shakedown regime. And it just seems like it gets into a kind of a creepy.
So 1 million illegal queries, at least 200,000 under for Christopher Wray. In other words, they are querying information about you and I without a warrant illegally. That is the current status of the FBI, which is why we have, and then we could go into a myriad of different things. I've got a whole expose here on 1-6 that I really meant to get to tonight, but we'll get to it tomorrow, which is another reason why we've got to have Kash Patel to get to the bottom of 1-6. But that's what's happening with the FBI right now. So here's Jake Sullivan, one of the orchestrators of the color revolution in 2014 in Ukraine, talking about, it's a Greg Price video, talking about how the FBI, quote, must remain as an independent institution, isolated from politics. Play it for me.
The only thing that I can point out, Kristen, is that we, the Biden administration, adhere to the longstanding norm that FBI directors serve out their full terms, because the FBI director is a unique player in the American government system. They're appointed for 10-year terms, not terms just for the duration of a given president. The current FBI director, Chris Wray, was actually appointed by Donald Trump. Joe Biden didn't fire him. He relied upon him to execute his responsibilities as the director of the FBI and allowed him to serve out the fullness of his term over the course of the Biden administration. So that's how we approach things. And we would like to ensure that the FBI remains an independent institution, insulated.
Another effeminate male who hovers over all of us with totalitarianism, Jake Sullivan. And interesting what he says there. He doesn't understand that we all know now, we're all red-pilled, that Republican does not mean Republican. Just because Christopher Wray was appointed by Donald Trump, that lends no credence to his appointment to any of us. It doesn't lend any credence to his appointment. Thus, we all know now that most Republicans are actually Democrats. Literally, we know that Robert Mueller, that James Comey, registered Republicans, Christopher Wray, have never voted Republican in their life. We all know that now. So that people like Jake Sullivan, these effeminate males hovering over us with totalitarianism, they don't realize that we now know, the gig is now up. We know now that people like Christopher Wray have never been Republicans, they'll never be Republicans, even though they call themselves Republicans, and have fraudulently ushered their way into the Trump administration. Now, if he had ushered his way into the Bush administration, Well, then Bush and Ray are one and the same. Democrats with R's in front of their names. Which I don't have time to deep dive into that right now, but we all know what I mean by it. What's so funny is Jake Sullivan now is calling for the independence of the FBI from the White House, that they should be independent from the White House. Was Eric Holder independent from Hussein?
No.
James Comey, was he independent? No. Andrew McCabe, was he independent? No. Christopher Wray, certainly not independent. These are not unbiased people. Merrick Garland, he's the independent from Joe Biden? Absolutely not. Lisa Monaco, Rod Rosenstein? Absolutely not. And by the way, they keep throwing down, he has a 10-year term. He can be fired at any time, just like James Comey was fired. He's given a 10-year contract. You know what? There's many NFL players right now. Deshaun Watson. Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson for the Steelers. You know who's paying his, $50 million a year? The Pittsburgh Steelers pay him $3 million. The rest of it, $47 million per year, comes from the Denver Broncos. You know why? Because they fired him. So he's still going to get paid. Congratulations. You didn't get your 10-year contract. Congratulations, but he's going to be fired. Why do we need Cash Patel? And by the way, Cash Patel is eminently qualified. He's been a prosecutor. He's been an intel assistant DEI. I mean, come on. There's nobody more. You look at how is Pete Buttigieg? How is he qualified to be Secretary of Transportation? Javier Becerra. How is an attorney from California, Health and Human Services Secretary? So they can throw down all these qualification. These qualification issues all they want. That's not, first of all, he's eminently qualified. But even if he wasn't, we can do whatever we want. The only way a senator should ever turn him down is for moral turpitude, or the person is eminently disqualified via some sort of act in the past. That's it. So everybody should get automatic rubber stamp approvals from Republican senators. Should be from Democrats too, but we know that's not going to happen. But they should automatically be certified by all Republicans. So why do we need Cash Patel? Steve 2A video. Maybe Cash can direct his FBI to investigate why the J6 committee buried this National Guard evidence. Play for me.
I think we were going to start with President Trump. Are they ready to call their first witness?
Yes, we would call Cash F. Patel. To your knowledge, did any senior DOJ leader ever state in words or substance that they felt they needed more or different authorization from President Trump before they could deploy National Guard troops to keep the peace on January 6th?
No.
So why didn't we have 10,000 National Guard troops suited up and armed guarding the Capitol on the morning of January 6th?
There's a multitude of reasons, but namely, step one was a commander-in-chief's authorization, which we had. Step two was a request by the governing body, the local governing body. It's the mayor, since it's Washington, D.C., and or the heads of the Capitol Police Bureau.
And Mr. Patel, I would ask you if you recognize this letter.
I do. It's the letter I referenced from Mayor Bowser, I believe on January 5th, to the Department of Defense, where she specifically stated, we would not be requesting any additional National Guards men and women. And that was her letter to us. That was the declination of a request. And so we were on standby.
Did you testify before the January 6th Select Committee?
I did.
Were you questioned in a public hearing?
No, they declined my request for a public hearing.
Was your testimony public when given?
No.
Did you tell them what you've told us today about the president and the deployment of National Guard troops?
I believe so.
Did the committee ever call you to testify about those issues in public session?
No.
Some of the senior officials, people like Cash Patel, apparently not available.
We felt it appropriate that the transcript should be made public at some point. And after months-long negotiations, they refused to do so and published their final report. And to my memory, it had been excluded. I think on the eve of the dissolution of the committee, my transcript was the last one released.
I have no further questions for you, sir. Thank you very much.
You called their bluff. And what's shocking to me, because I didn't even really understand this, is that you gave this testimony. Liz Cheney and Kinzinger and you guys, he gave this testimony, essentially, to J6, and they buried it?
Some of the senior officials, people like Cash Patel, apparently not available.
point blank, is your testimony basically one of the key reasons that Jack Smith can't and won't indict President Trump for insurrection?
You know, I believe so. It's the truth. If they could have, if anyone could have charged President Trump with insurrection, this special counsel, Jack Smith, would have done it.
So there you see Liz Cheney lying there. I mean, Cash Patel is publicly testifying that he testified. He's publicly testifying that he testified before the J6 committee, of which Liz Cheney was part of, and was there when he testified. And then she claims that he wasn't available to testify, and then buried his testimony. That's who these people are. I mean, this is the fight that we are in. And we haven't won just because Trump's been elected. We've won a battle, but we haven't won the war. I had to show you this one last one here. George video. This is Ted Cruz basically got the FBI to admit that January 6th was a setup. And I've got my whole January 6th section here, which I'll launch into tomorrow night because it's still ongoing. Had another raid somewhere in late November, another raid of a J6er's home. Ted Cruz basically exposing the FBI. Play for me.
How many FBI agents or confidential informants actively participated in the events of January 6th?
Sir, I'm sure you can appreciate that I can't go into the specifics of sources and methods.
Did any FBI agents or confidential informants actively participate in the events of January 6th, yes or no?
Sir, I can't answer that.
Did any FBI agents or confidential informants commit crimes of violence on January 6th?
I can't answer that, sir.
Did any FBI agents or FBI informants actively encourage and incite crimes of violence on January 6th?
Sir, I can't answer that.
For everyone practices evil, hates the light, and does not come to the light, lest their deeds be exposed. And she's about to be exposed. The FBI is about to be exposed. Cash Patel is the one who actually is the one who put the collusion hoax out. He's the one who actually exposed the collusion hoax. Him and Devin Nunes. This is all about to come out, and people are going to federal prison. If they don't, then we're losing. People are like, we need to move on, and the best revenge is living a good life on that. And I'm not talking about revenge. I'm talking about protection. If you want this to end and you don't want Mar-a-Lago raided again, then you need to put the people in prison who raided Mar-a-Lago because they raided it illegally and so forth and so on. Same thing with the raids of Giuliani. The same thing with the raids of Project Veritas, Mar-a-Lago, Rudy Giuliani. Navarro in prison, Bannon in prison. They would have put General Flynn in prison if they could have. Roger Stone would have been in prison for years. His raid of his home. Where only CNN and the SWAT team and the FBI SWAT team were there with frogmen in his canal. If you don't prosecute the people who are illegally prosecuting you, then they're going to illegally prosecute you again. And we can legally prosecute them now. And it needs to occur. All right, 1034. That's good. I don't know how many of you had that. Rumble Rants, Nude Monk, $100. Thank you so much. Nude Monk, Tammy L. Margritter, $10. Gianna Jones, $10. Naz Yeager, $5. Love you guys so much. Really appreciate you. Really appreciate everybody in the chat. Love you guys. Appreciate you coming back. 1,078 people after what we have Wednesday, Thursday, Friday off. Appreciate you guys coming right back on Monday. Stick around for the post game. It's almost all positive. Got a lot of Christmas mixed in there. Good stuff. Love you. I'll be in the chat during the post game. Appreciate you guys back here tomorrow night, 9 o'clock. Love you all. God bless you. And let God bring revelatory knowledge to you. Spiritual, supernatural knowledge to you. And I'm talking about every situation, anything and everything. Before you do anything in business, in a relational, anything. Why don't you wait? Be like me and go, you know what? I may not be smart enough to make this decision right now. And it has nothing to do with IQ. Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. And then, listen to this. I put the and then in there. I will be exalted among the heathen. If we are all smarter and didn't make the same dumb decisions, I said we, by the way, not you. I said we. Guess who's part of we? Me. I'm part of we. If we were to make the correct decisions, everybody would want what we have. And we wouldn't have to do all the, we don't do it at this church. All these other churches wouldn't have to do all this gimmickry.
Thank you for watching the Tom Lively podcast. We appreciate your support. As a special thank you, when you donate $25 or more, you'll receive a free TLP mug. Sip your favorite beverage while enjoying all the insights from our episodes. Your support helps us keep bringing you current events from around the globe. Donate now to claim your mug.